Hi, this is Debbie, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow, a real person.
Yep, I'm here to help you with everything from selecting the perfect window treatment to...
I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. And I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
Yeah, we can also send you samples, fast and free.
Wow, I mean, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule, and there's no haggling, no pressure, no hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Oh, okay, whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over.
Blinds.com has covered over 25 million windows, all backed by a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com now and get up to 40% off with minimum purchase. Rules and restrictions may apply.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Good morning. It is Tuesday, and this is the morning shift on Sports Radio 929 The Game. Mike Bo, Tiff here, hanging out with you, as usual, in the Kia studios. What is going on, gentlemen?
Tiff, what'd you do yesterday? Did you have a good evening? Did you hang out? Did you do any cooking, anything like that?
What did I do? That's a good question. A whole lot of nothing. Watch some of the women's tournament that was on. Cooked basic survival food.
MREs, and, dehydrated.
You know, and that's pretty much, I think that's pretty much it. Yeah, and then caught up on a couple, tried to catch up on Righteous Gemstones, but then I was like, I got to go to bed. So
I've been watching that a little bit, too.
I watched this week's episode yesterday when I got home. The show's so stupid.
Don't tell me, I'm like 3 episodes behind base. I couldn't get through last night because I was so tired. I watched the first one with Bradley Cooper.
Yeah,
which is crazy.
Which is a one-off. That show's been notorious for that. They've done those one-offs, like the throwback episode, one or two of those a season. Now you're only 2 episodes behind because the third episode came out Sunday. So you're not far off, but it...
I have 3 to watch, though, I think. Right?
No. Oh, okay. Well, you did. Now you have 2.
Now I have 2. Okay.
But no, it's just funny because I was just thinking of some of the things that have been in it. It's so goofy. But they do a good job with it. And they've got a lot of cameos in it too.
It's a good show.
The third episode, and I can tell you this because it doesn't give anything away. But remember Stifler?
Yeah.
Remember Sean William Scott?
Sean William Scott, yeah.
Yeah, he is in episode 3.
Okay.
So, it's I don't know, it's hilarious what they've done, what he does. And it's really like Danny McBride, the actor who he's kind of got this Adam Sandler-like thing where he's always got certain people in it. Like Walton Goggins is always in it. Did you guys ever watch Eastbound and Down? You remember the goofy guy Stevie, that the little guy that teacher guy that like was basically in love with Kenny Powers. he makes cameos in every one of his shows. I don't know the girl's name, the lady's name, but she is in Vice Principals. She's the one that was in love with him.
And yeah, she's hilarious.
She's who played Judy Gemstone. And Righteous Gemstone. So he's just got like a bunch of kind of the Adam Sandler thing where a bunch of people that comedians and actors that he's friends with make appearances. It always just makes
it's a good
me
show. Did you guys do anything last night?
Man, I took the kids on a walk. That was about it. I was pretty worthless yesterday. It's one of those weird lull days in sports where, you know, the men's tournament doesn't start back up till Thursday. There's no Hawks game last night. You did have Braves.
Basketball was played yesterday.
Yeah, that's what I said. The men's tournament doesn't start back till Thursday. Yeah. It's one of those lulls in terms of that. It's I don't know. I like caught up on sleep yesterday, watched some TGL last night, which was fun to watch. And yeah, I mean it was an interesting Monday, man. The weather finally shaped up yesterday evening and got a chance to hang out with the fam.
My neighbor's daughter turned 16. So we obviously went and do what you know we always do. We went to Cancun's for her 16th birthday.
She wanted to hang out with
yeah.
You guys on her 16th?
Well, I mean, what else is she gonna do? She's a high school student, and on a Monday, I mean, not like she was going to a party.
I guess it's a Monday. That's
yeah. I don't know if I was sick. I don't know. I'm with Tiff. I'd want to do dinner with the girls or whatever.
Yeah.
I think that something is planned for that. I think it was
maybe just waiting for the weekend.
Yeah, I think it's more of like no, it's Monday night, and you're a high school student. But anyways, so yeah, did that. And there's a.
Yeah, but is it really ever any different when you're 16 and it's a Monday? Like, it's not like you're staying out till 3 a.m. on Saturday anyways. Like, you know what I mean? Like,
I don't know. I mean,
you stay out till if your parents are like, you can stay out till 11 p.m. on a Monday. Like, yeah, it's fine.
I'm pretty sure 16-year-olds don't stay out till 11 p.m. I mean, maybe we did, but I know she didn't.
Yeah, I don't like, you know, at a friend's house or at your house, you know, for your 16th birthday, I wouldn't find it that crazy.
But they probably do it over the weekend, I guess. I mean, maybe this was like dinner with her. I guess it was dinner with the family. I just thought it was unusual that you were like, oh, we all went like.
Yeah, we're family. We're neighbors. Okay, I mean, we're a community, right. Tiff. We go on vacation together. We're not with them, but yeah, they're that's my future babysitter you're talking about. So I gotta make sure. No, dude.
Ask her if she ever heard the term au pair.
Dude, I've already been like, hey, you want to take the kid to the pool this year? My buddy was like, that's not happening.
Speaking of this, things got spicy at the daycare the other day, my kid's daycare.
How'd you have to fight somebody?
I would, but I didn't have to. There was a letter sent out the other day, and it was basically like a warning. Somebody evidently tried to poach one of the teachers to become a nanny. And the daycare people were just furious about this and basically said, we checked because it's in your daycare contract. If you are caught poaching a nanny, if you are caught poaching a nanny from the daycare, you have to pay $4,000 for them to find a new teacher.
What? Yeah. And
it's
also,
a finder's
who snitched? The person who got approached?
So evidently what happened is they didn't know it when it happened. All right, the lady left and the kids left kind of around the same time. But evidently what happened is they tried to come back both individually. Like there was some kind of like end of that agreement. So the kids needed a daycare to come back to. So the kids come back. And then eventually the teacher is like, oh, I need a job again, and comes back. And the kids ratted the teacher out.
They're like,
yeah, the kids were like, oh, yeah, we've had, you know, Miss Jones at our house for the last like 2 months or whatever. And like ratted the whole situation out. The owners of this daycare were beside themselves.
Yeah.
Furious.
You guys need to carefully read your daycare contract because the fine print could
it's kind of like the DNA test for the poop at Tiffany's apartment building. You know what I mean?
It's
like, there's just
enforced.
Always in there, man. It's always in there. You got to be careful. Get a lawyer to read through that
thing. Do you think they added, was that added in after this happened, or did you go back and look at
it? No, it was in
contract?
Ours. Okay. Yeah, it was in ours from like, you know, whatever we signed it a couple years ago. It's funny because I just never even thought about it. And, you know, we've done things like that where you'll use a babysitter maybe, but in a $4,000 finder fee, if you step over and try to recruit a nanny, like that's so intense, dude. I was like, how could they even enforce that? But I guess if it's in a contract, small claims court or whatever. But, man, there was some serious drama going on the other day.
That is wild. All right, let's get some headlines. This segment brought to you by Padley. Sell your home for cash fast. PadlyBuys.com. All right. Well, hey, Atlanta Drive for the TGL Finals. They put in work. They take a 1-0 lead in their matchup over New York with a 6-5 victory. Best of three.
Kind of a it felt like a playoff. Right, and that's crazy because I've watched a fair amount of TGL this year, and definitely watching yesterday felt like a playoff format, felt like a final. It really did. It had an air about it that was a lot more intense than I think most of the times that I've watched TGL. Some really cool moments, And I think the best part of TGL, aside from how good Atlanta has been this year, is the ability to get to know guys like Billy Horschel. I already knew a fair amount about Justin Thomas, him being a Bama guy, but you really get insight into the inner workings, the personal dialogue between these players. I think, like, last night was a smash to me. It was cool.
Yeah, and I'm a big Ricky Fowler fan. He's obviously on the opposing team, so I got to go against him. But it's also cool seeing some of the strategy, even some of which I don't understand with the hammer drops and stuff. It's all a little bit. It can be tough for me because I have watched it, but I haven't watched it as closely, like where I've been listening to every commentary and read every rule. But the emotion that some of these guys showed and some of the shots they hit last night. Billy Horschel hit a couple of shots, and I was like, dude.
Yes, that was insane.
And it's all following up his shot at the Valspar last weekend where he basically had to go lefty and hit a great shot there.
Yeah.
But he has a turn a right-handed club around to go lefty, and that was phenomenal.
That's insane, man.
And
insane.
So you're seeing how good these guys are, but how actually competitive they are in an environment where they can show that competitive fire a little bit more, which is what the TGL showed.
A couple more stories to get to. The Hawks looking to extend their win streak to 4 games in Houston when they take on the Rockets tonight.
Mm. Got to finish, what do we say, AJ? 7-4 to finish the season over 500. 7-4, you know, look, let's build some momentum going into this play-in round that you'll probably be in. I don't think you can catch that 6 seed, but nonetheless, we talked about it yesterday. Zachary Risache playing at such a high level. Dyson Daniels going over the 200 steal plateau. You look at everything else going on with Trae Young, obviously having an incredible season as well. So finish on a high note, man. Let's roll. Let's see if we can make some noise in the playoffs in this last 11 games that we've talked about. Very good chance that you could, if you're playing good basketball, go 7-4 and finish that season over 500, which their over-under was, what, 35.5 this year? So that'd be a nice 6. I think they're already at 35.
The other thing for me is just make sure you stay ahead of the Magic. The Magic win last night. They beat the Lakers. So you need to stay ahead of them. And that's important, too. You're a game and a half ahead of them. But just stay ahead of them for that 7 spot.
Yeah, you still got a home and home with them.
Yeah. So that's important, too. Don't lose track of that.
So pregame, of course, you can catch that right here on 99 The Game at 7:30 with tip-off set for 8 p.m. All right, on to some really big news. This is making headlines everywhere, and Juju Watkins unfortunately will miss the remainder of the women's NCAA tournament after suffering a torn ACL in her right knee during their second round game against Mississippi State. So Shams of ESPN broke the news, but this is a tough break for the women's tournament, tough break for the women's game overall. Tremendous talent, and unfortunate to see her go out the way she did. She had to be carried off the court yesterday, which is a really sad scene.
Yeah, planted that right leg and right knee buckled, and unfortunately, you watch the slow-mo and kind of knew what it was immediately.
Yeah, you knew right then and there. All right, the Braves, their offense has a big day against the Cubs yesterday, 13-4 win for them. Ozzie Albies and Ozuna all hit home runs yesterday. So did Matt Olson as well.
Yeah, nice to see them kind of take off, and we talked about this. So the Braves are now in Phoenix, and well, I think the Cubs are in Mesa, Arizona, but the Braves kind of having that midway stop between their, between Florida and heading out to San Diego to open the season, kind of stopping in Phoenix for a couple of games, and then they'll get their off day, I believe, tomorrow before they hit the ground running Thursday night for 7 straight against the Padres and Dodgers.
It's kind of like that thing they used to do. We were talking about this morning where they used to go like home and they would play a 2-game series at Turner Field or with Truist or whatever, wherever they're playing at the time, and which they don't really do anymore, but this is kind of another version of it is, the Cubs are in the Cactus League, I believe they call it.
Yeah, Cactus League.
All right. Well, when we come back here on the morning shift, there's a lot of news surrounding the Falcons now. What's the latest with Kirk Cousins? And will a trade go down, and if so, when will that happen? We will discuss next when we return here on Sports Radio 99.
Hey, it's Jim Costa with Cash the Ticket. It's March, so Mike Valeni and I are all over the tournament again this year. There's just nothing like betting in March. Breakdowns of every region and every game, from conference tournaments to the final horn, we'll have the picks and the plays on every single game. Cinderella spotlights, upset alerts, and some of that value for the last team standing. It's tourney time, so hunker down and bet the board with us. Subscribe and listen to Cash the Ticket in the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
In the game. Back here on the morning shift, and there's some news coming out about Kirk Cousins and the Falcons. And per Sports Illustrated, well, Cousins is planning to wait until after the NFL draft to facilitate a trade from the team. The reason for being patient is for the 37-year-old quarterback to find a team where he can start and not have a rookie waiting in the wings to take his job.
It's funny because the report was is he will refuse to waive his no trade clause until after the draft to make sure that team didn't draft. And you know what's funny is this is literally what we kind of remember yesterday when we talked about Aaron Rodgers, and we were like, well, what could the holdup be? And I said, well, maybe it's he's like, yeah, I want to make sure. It also, I'm going to say something, and I have been, I. The whole thing about was he hurt, wasn't he, right? It's no doubt that he had treatment after the Saints game for a week. And then he stopped having treatment.
Right.
And he said it was a clerical error. All right. Then he comes out and said he was injured because at the Super Bowl, because in his words, when he was benched, I didn't forget how to play the position. Then you report this. So clearly, so to me, if I'm going to do the conspiracy theory, read between the lines thing, right? You know what I'm hearing?
What do you got?
I'm hearing that you were never hurt. Maybe you were a little banged up, then you got healthy again, but because you had some bad games, you got in your own head in that Vegas game, and because you were afraid of being benched, so you put extra pressure. And so the fact of the matter is he lived with the fact that that Penix was there to take his job, and it was a factor in his mental when he was playing. And so now he's like, I don't want to deal with that again. So I don't want to go anywhere with a young quarterback to deal behind me. So if one little hiccup happens in the season, I'm going to be back mentally fearing to lose my job.
Yeah, I didn't see this news that way.
That's what I saw.
You said conspiracy theory. I think you're probably spot on with that. A little bit of a leap for me. I don't know where the leap comes from that he doesn't want to be back in the situation, so he lied about being hurt. And I understand what you're saying. I just think that's a little bit too far.
My point is that he lied about being hurt, so people didn't think that he lost his edge, the yips, and couldn't play the position from a mental thing.
I agree. I understand what you're saying. I just think from this particular news, that's not what I gathered from it. I just gathered that he didn't like the fact that Penix was drafted behind him, and he doesn't want that situation to happen again. I've tried to, and I still continue to try to give people's perspective from what I think Kirk Cousins is feeling, in that locker room or when that happened or in his meeting with Arthur Blank or whatever it may be. I'm really starting to get irritated with his agent, though, because there is a lot of agent games going on with this entire scenario. We won't do this. We will do this. Bottom line is, dude, you're not going to do anything. And if you are, if you're trying to force some sort of hand, I have said this all along. You've said this all along. I genuinely believe they don't care about him being traded. I think it's like, if it happens, cool. Like, we'll take a third round pick or whatever you might want to do. But I genuinely believe they would be fine. And all this stuff kind of coming out about him, you know, holding on to the trade clause or not coming to, you know, offseason workouts, whatever it may be. I don't think Terry's worried about it, dude. I really don't. Like, I think he's just fine. And I think this is a lot of agent games in the background saying, well, this has got to happen or that's going to happen. The problem is, if you're Kirk Cousins and this agent's playing games, you're going to find yourself standing up at the end of musical chairs. And I think that that's what they need to be really, really heavily considering. You're waiting for a team that won't sign Aaron Rodgers and isn't going to draft a quarterback by the end of next month. I don't think it's going to happen. Like, we're running out of seats here. Like, who is that team going to be that's going to be looking at Kirk Cousins as the quarterback of the future and the bridge quarterback to next year's draft? I don't see it. I don't know who's out there like that.
So Albert Breer, friend of the show, he obviously is with Sports Illustrated, MMQB. He had this to say. He said, if, say, Rodgers picks the Steelers this week, I'd expect that the Giants and Cleveland Browns would have at least some interest in making a move for Atlanta's Falcons' very pricey backup, referring to Kirk Cousins. And he said, ditto for the Steelers if they strike out on Rodgers. And he said, a big key then becomes Cousins' possession of the no-trade clause in his contract.
Yeah, I trust Albert. I don't really see any. It did make some sense to me for the Giants. I just think it makes zero sense.
Wait, why? They don't have, hopefully Jameis can turn the corner and pray away the interception demons like he said, but you've got Jameis and you've got Tommy DeVito.
Yeah, well, I think you draft someone. I mean, I think that's what makes sense. I think, to me, that's why, and that you're right, if you don't have anything, and I don't think, if Brian Daboll and Joe Shane if they're, their plan is for Jameis Winston to save their jobs. I mean, they might as well go ahead and clean their offices out today.
Do you think that because of how everything played out last year and people repeatedly playing those clips of Saquon Barkley, that maybe they feel, I don't know, maybe some sort of pressure to try to hit some sort of home run, and maybe that's not in the draft, and maybe that's going after Kirk Cousins? Where do they pick again? That's what I got to
know. They are fourth or fifth.
Fourth? Okay.
Yeah.
Assuming the Titans are going to take
Cam Ward
off. Which, we'll get to his pro day in a little bit.
Well, based on what they did yesterday, they pretty much put all their eggs in that basket from a public standpoint, unless it's a grandstand to maybe make someone panic like the Giants and trade up for Cam Ward. It doesn't make any sense to me, though, for the Giants to bring in Kirk. Their plan to go to battle is Kirk Cousins and Jameis Winston. To me, if you draft Shador, if you believe in him, at least you can say, well, if Shador has just an okay season, you can say, look, we found the future. He got better. We were competitive with him. And you don't want to pull the rug out from a rookie quarterback, but you go in there with Kirk Cousins and Jameis Winston, that thing goes bad. You won't make it through half the season. I mean that's not the swing. I would have been swinging for Aaron Rodgers or Russell Wilson if I'm the Giants and think that I'm trying to save my job.
I'm thinking it doesn't look point. Like, at least according to what's all out there, it doesn't look like Aaron Rodgers is in the market. I think he already told them no or something like that. Yeah, Wasn't that the report that came out? So
I think Russell Wilson really is the veteran in play for there if they don't draft someone. But to me, that would be a better, because I think with that said, you at least saw Russell play. You kind of know. But again, I don't think Russell Wilson's the answer either. That guy lost six straight games last year with a good running game and one of the better defenses in the NFL. So I'm not, including a playoff game, if I'm the Giants, I'm trying to save my job with a rookie and showing that I can grow with it, if I believe in one.
I'm with you on that. And I wonder in the end what role kind of, you know, the Jackson Darts, the Jalen Milroes of the world kind of play in this entire scenario, because we know the Steelers had dinner. I know that Jackson Dart is a name that continues to kind of buzz as a guy who could climb, and some people kind of look as a sleeper in that situation. And Shador, if he's there at four whenever the Giants pick, then I think that that's definitely in play as well. I don't know why you would go out if you're the Giants and sign Jameis Winston and then say we need to trade for Kirk Cousins. Tiff, you mentioned it. Jameis is one to pray away the interceptions. Kirk Cousins better start praying too. I mean, it's not like this guy. What was it, 18-17? His touchdown interception ratio.
18-16.
It was awful. It was awful. And you know, that's Daniel Jones was, I think, 8-7 on his touchdown interceptions last year. And then they let him go. And Jameis Winston was among he was similar ratio. Like they're all kind of similar guys. I don't know why you would move on from Daniel Jones and then say, hey, we're going to sign a combination of Jameis and Kirk. So I'm with you. I think the Giants are out, and it goes back to my original point. I think Kirk needs to be very careful where he's at in the next month. If you're going to come out here and start pushing things around, or your agent, because I really genuinely don't think this is Kirk. I think Kirk trusts his agent, and his agent has done right by him throughout his career. But I think if you're the agent, you're going, well, hey, we're going to push our chest out. We're going to, you know, we're going to make that. We're going to see if we can pressure somebody into something. You've lost your mind. Like you're at a point right now where I don't think you're as highly coveted as you were obviously a year ago. And if somebody wants to come calling for you as a trade partner at 37 years old, doesn't matter what they're doing in the draft, you might want to jump on that, dude, because otherwise you're probably going to be riding the pine here in Atlanta.
Because I don't see how anywhere else, out of the teams that need to go after a quarterback, I don't see where else he could land where he wouldn't be in the backup veteran role unless it is Cleveland.
Yeah.
That Cleveland thing, I think is, I know everyone talks about it. Here's one.
But I'm just going off of
I know.
Stuff. The Giants and Cleveland.
Yeah, and I understand that. And I'm not. That's. It's not aimed at you. I just feel like the Cleveland thing's far fetched because of the. I know that they have money.
I don't
now
put anything past that it. Franchise.
Well, yeah. I just think that Cleveland thinks that they have the upper hand, and they don't. See, this is the thing that why I don't blame Kirk's agent at all. A, he's keeping Kirk's name in the news. He's reminding, don't forget about Kirk Cousins. Don't forget, because the more you hear Kirk Cousins' name, the more teams remember that he's out there. Not that they would forget, but you always want to keep your name in the news cycle in this kind of situation because you're trying to stay hot. The other thing, but to me, the Cleveland thing just seems far-fetched because Cleveland has never wanted to give anything up. To your point, don't put anything past it. Don't put it past it. They just still will make terrible moves. And to me,
this could be considered
well, but I think in their mind, they think somehow they have the upper hand, which they don't, and they're trying to hold out hope that Atlanta will give them something for nothing. And I just don't think the Falcons feel that way. I think that I do. I am locked in that the Falcons are like, hey, we'll go into training camp with him on this roster unless you decide to give us something, because I'm not taking a six-round pick and 26 and paying half his salary to watch him throw interceptions in Cleveland. I'd rather him sit on my bench. And I'm okay with that. As a Falcons fan, I'm very much okay with that because you're not giving something away for nothing. And that's smart business.
Yeah, and here's the other end of that. And I know this was talked about it last week just a little bit, when Albert Breer reported that he's not coming to offseason workouts. That just to me, again, this goes back to the way I feel about the agent right now. That, to me, is not a Kirk Cousins thing. Kirk Cousins is not the kind of guy that, from what I've seen, is going to be like, man, I ain't coming. You know what I mean? It just doesn't seem to be him. But, again, keeping his name in the news cycle, making other teams understand that he's unhappy and wants to move on, maybe leverage, trying to leverage for another team. But, again, him not coming off season workouts, okay, fine. I'd rather Penix get the bulk of those reps anyways, build the timing with the receivers and do all that other stuff. I don't really care if Kirk Cousins is there for the first couple OTAs.
And voicing your displeasure is also trying to, put some pressure on outside teams to make a move, but more so on the franchise that you're with. Because if you're acting like you're unhappy, then, maybe they'll want to get rid of you. I don't know if that's going to work like that when you got this much money on the line. All right, when we come back here on the morning shift, let's stick with Falcons and also give you a reminder. We do have Dave Archer joining us here on the show in our 8 o'clock hour, so stay tuned for that. But up next, where was Coach Raheem Morris? Which pro day was he at? We've got that for you when we return here on the morning shift on Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game. Rolling along here on the morning shift, we got some Braves to get to as well. But first, Falcons head coach Raheem Morris was present at the Marshall Pro Day for Mike Green. So consulting editor and NFL draft analyst at SportsKita.com, Tony Pauline, reported the news first yesterday.
It's interesting to kind of track all these things, who's coming on visits, whose pro day they're going to. And, of course, we talked about Georgia last week a little bit, the contingent that was there. And it just – when you look at Mike Green, you can start to develop a picture. I don't – look, when you look at visitors, pro days, things like that, people you've been talking to, it's all levels of the defense, just kind of like we considered. And it'll be interesting to see where this rolls on. But I think Mike Green is somebody that a lot of people have had circled since the Senior Bowl, and – it's easy to see why, somebody like Raheem Morris would want a Mike Green in your lineup if he can be an instant impact player.
I don't know. It's kind of misleading. I love Tony Pauline. It's a little bit misleading to me. Well, first off, why wouldn't he be there? He's going to be a first-round pick, and they've got a first-round draft pick. The other thing for me is who else is there?
Why do you think it's misleading? How many pro days do you think he goes to?
Well, did he report on every freaking person that was there? Was there a tweet that Joe Shane was there? Was there a tweet that Mickey Loomis was there? I mean, why just Raheem? is one of the things I'd say. Did Mike Green get a is he bringing him in for one of their 30 visits?
See, it seems to me like you took it the report as like a negative towards Raheem.
No, I didn't think it was negative. I just
think like,
why is that the only person I saw that was reported?
Well, because a lot of people have mocked from there. Edge to the
I understand,
Falcons,
but
so I think
there's
it's newsworthy.
There's
that
multiple
there.
Teams that have been reported to Edge. I'm just confused on why that's the only one I saw reported. That's all.
I think because it's been such a big deal here, the pass rush for like years and years and years is all you ever hear about. So that is why.
I understand, but he's been mocked to other teams as well. So I'm glad I want him to be at these things. I'm sure that they'll be at other ones that maybe, maybe they go watch a quarterback too. Who knows? I mean, maybe that'll be reported, but. I also am curious who else went to this other than Raheem from the Falcons, because we know they sent about 50 people to Flowery Branch the other day. To Athens from Flowery Branch. So I wonder if they sent other people. It was like, why was it just Raheem that was reported? I'd like to know who else was there. I guess he was the only person there.
So, no, it's just we just told you why.
I understand, but there are other teams that need edges. The Falcons aren't the only team that needs an edge player.
I think it's been highlighted everywhere, the struggles at the position before, more so than other teams have.
So
I don't think you understand.
I absolutely understand, but the Falcons are one of many teams. Anybody that was sick of, I would say, the bottom half of the league probably needs an edge player. So maybe, it's just interesting that that's the only person that I saw reported out of it. Whatever. I mean, but that's just what I noticed. So, tell us who else was there. And I would ask Tony that, too. Like, why was that the only guy? I mean, there are other teams that need edge players. So it's not like the Falcons, they have been the worst the last 25 years. But they're not the only team that has been bad at pass rushing. So. That's just curious to me why that was the only one that was reported.
I don't know why you took offense to it. I loved hearing that Raheem is different.
I didn't take offense to it. I'm just saying that I'm allowed to question things.
Why are you questioning it though?
Questioning why that's the only person reported? That's why.
Why?
Because I want to. That's my prerogative. I'm not allowed to.
It just sounds
I'm
like
not
you're
allowed
offended
to,
by it.
So I'm suddenly not allowed to question things?
I guess so. Okay. Dude, do whatever you want to.
Right.
Oh man. All right.
Dylan, can you give me that reminder, please, that you were just telling me in my ear since I brought up Tony Pauline?
Oh, yes. I was just bringing up the fact that Tony will actually join us tomorrow at 8:20, so stay tuned.
There you go.
Be able to talk to him about it.
Yeah, maybe you can ask him who else was there.
Maybe I will.
I wonder who else talked to Jalen Milroe other than Mike Tomlin at Alabama's program.
I don't know. I'd be interested to know.
Yeah, it's weird because, he's the only one that was reported.
Well, they took him. Yeah, they only reported.
I don't know.
Hold on.
I was
hold
upset
on.
About that.
Hold on.
Nobody
no.
else said anything
they
about
only,
anybody
no,
else.
See, that's where that's where you're just being ignorant because.
Dude, watch it.
Here,
first
listen
of all,
to me.
Watch
because
it.
They took him to dinner.
Okay.
That's why that got reported.
Yeah.
Now, if Tony would have said, Raheem Morris is here and the Falcons had dinner with Mike Green last night or planned to go to dinner tonight, then the report had summit. But just the fact that he's cited there, well, who else was there?
I don't know. Mean, I guess I'm just clinging on to every Falcons nugget of information I can to lead me to who they might draft and who they might not draft. I'm not going to complain that there is some kind of nugget about where Raheem was at. It just seems
it's
absurd.
Relevant to the news around the team for the position.
And honestly, it's not even worth talking about. I just don't understand it. But again, it's not for me to understand. It's his prerogative, according to Bo. So.
All right. How about them Braves? We'll pivot here. So they had a big day offensively in the Grapefruit League against the Cubs with Matt Olson, Marcell Ozuna, Ozzy Albies all hitting home runs yesterday. So it was they scored, 16 total
taters,
hits
Tiff.
And
taters,
then scored
please.
13 runs.
For the love, taters. No, it's incredibly good news. And I know that I'm so stoked about opening day coming up Thursday. Fantasy drafts abound right now, right? Everybody kind of, getting their hitters and their sluggers and everything. And we've looked at all this Braves lineup up one side and down the other about when Ronald Acuña comes back, when Spencer Strider comes back. But the bottom line is the guys you just mentioned that are having successful springs thus far and displaying a little bit of this power, it's going to take them too. And no matter when Ronald comes back. And the best thing is if all those guys – are hitting the way they did yesterday in this Cactus League game, which they don't normally play, but this Cactus League game, If those guys are hitting well to start the season, then you don't have to rush Ronald Acuña back, nor will you or would you have. But it's nice to kind of take a little bit of that pressure off him as he's reinserted in the lineup. If you've gone three straight days being shut out and nobody's hitting worth a crap, you might be like, man, you know, Ronald Acuña might be like, oh, I got to take over this offense. That's not the way it's going to be seen. And a lot of these bats have been nice to see kind of heat up lately at the end of spring training.
Do you like this collective effort then you're seeing, or is there someone that you think in particular really is going to have to step it up while Acuña is out?
I think that obviously you can look at this lineup and you can probably pick three. I think you could pick Matt Olson, who obviously, you know, a couple of years ago hits 50-plus home runs. Marcell Ozuna was incredible last year, really being the only standard bearer for this team. And then Austin Riley. I you know, the more I read up on Austin Riley, the more I expect of Austin Riley. I think a lot of people kind of expect him to have a career year if he can stay healthy, you know, silver slugger at third base and things like that. So I think it's got to be Marcell, but I'm glad that there's multiple options, right? I think Marcell Ozuna is just that guy and has shown the ability to be that guy over the last year and a half plus. And hopefully Ronald Acuña, when he comes back, can just be a little bit added to it.
I would push back. I don't need those guys. Those guys have been stepping up. I mean, those guys have had those moments. I need Michael Harris to explode. I need Michael Harris to be the one that steps up. He's the guy that can steal bases. Those other guys can't create opportunities on the base paths that you just named. But Michael Harris can. I need him to step up. I need his power, which we know he has. And, you know, that those are the things, like, I need him to be that guy. I need him to fuel it. I think that we have kind of been, I think Grant told, I think Tiff was the one to ask a question Friday about the batting lineup. And I think because Yerkes and Profar was the leadoff, right?
Yeah.
And you know, Profar is going to be a big deal. But to me, Michael Harris needs to be the guy that just pops out. You know, he came on the scene in 22 and his own base percentage was the highest of his career that year. He had the highest stolen base total of his career that year and the highest home run total. Since then, it's declined each year. All three of those, the on base percentage. Now, the stolen bases, he had 20 that year in 23. Then last year, obviously, he played only 110 games. But in 110 games last year, his on base percentage was the lowest of his career. His stolen bases was the lowest of his career. His home runs were the lowest of his career. So, and he was caught stealing the most in his career. So I need Michael Harris to pop back out and be that player that we saw in 2022 and really in 2023 as well. He was a good player those years. That's what I'm looking at. I need that guy because that guy I think could be a really good spark plug because to me, he's probably the best you have on the base paths when you don't have Ronald Acuña Jr. there.
Dylan has a question.
And, Bo, I just wanted to piggyback off of that point to Michael Harris because if you look at the lineup they had yesterday, and this is probably going to be very close, if not almost the exact starting lineup, obviously aside from who the pitcher is. But as far as the batting order goes, they had Michael Harris batting fifth. And if you have Michael Harris right there, he's going to be in the middle of everything where he's going to have plenty of RBI opportunities to drive in runs and, you know, and be that guy that, you know, puts a lot of runs on the board for the Braves. So to your point, if he's the guy that can be that anchor in the middle of that lineup and, you know, drive home a lot of those runs and bring home the Austin Rileys and the Matt Olsons of the world that are getting on base, the Ozunas, that's going to be huge for the Braves. So I just wanted to add to that.
Yeah, and I don't know. And here's the thing. I'm not sure if – do you think they'll have him at five? Because to me, the best you got out of him when he was at the bottom of the lineup as it rolled over for Acuña.
Yeah.
And
that could shake up once Acuña comes back. Maybe they move him down because they'll move Profar probably will maybe take that five spot and they'll move move Money Mike back down. Yeah.
I would actually rather have Profar at two.
Yeah.
Because I don't think Ozzie's perfect in that two spot. Now maybe he could be there. But to me that and you can do the lineup so many ways. You want Olson.
I was gonna say Profar unlocks a lot of things as a switch hitter. Because like he unlocks a lot of different things.
Yeah.
As does Albies, obviously. But having two of those guys that can switch hit and you can kind of, you know, continue to alternate right left to make it difficult, you know, on some of the pitching changes you might see throughout the year.
I think it probably lines up the best if you have Acuña leading off and then you can flip flop depending on who's hot, Ozzie or Profar. And then you have Olson at three and Ozuna at four and Riley at five. Now you can kind of start over with one of those guys at six, whether it's Profar, whether it's Harris, and then kind of have one of those other guys and maybe flip them and down, because I'm not sure if I like Harris at five. Because really, to me, yeah, I think it also depends on what his power looks like, as because we know he has it, but I just like him creating opportunities. I think he's the guy that can get on. He has a good on base percentage when he's really in it. I mean, 340 is pretty good. And then can he still? Because I know he can run the base pass, and it's the one thing. And I give Mike credit. He harked on it a lot last year that Ronald Acuña Jr. led the team in stolen bases, and he was out after middle of May. Right? Was it middle of May when he tore his ACL?
Yeah, if not earlier. Yeah.
So to me, increasing that part of the game is a big deal, and that's why I like money.
Yeah, we've talked to Grant about this, and be it on air and off air, that we've talked to Grant McCauley, and I was kind of taken aback that Grant was like, I don't think they're focused on speed. I don't think they're focused on, going first to third or first to home on a gapper or whatever else. I just think that when all else fails the way it did last year, that a lot of times that's how you can manufacture the runs. But he brought up a good point that Michael Harris does have the power, like both of y'all were just talking about. And Michael Harris is a guy that, in Grant's words, he's going to always pick Michael Harris as a breakout candidate and a guy that can be an MVP candidate until he does. And, he just has that kind of tool, those kind of tools in his tool bag. And as much as I think Braves fans sometimes get a little bit jaded and wonder if he is the second coming of a Jason Hayward, Michael Harris has shown the ability to be incredible in all aspects. He's just got to continue to stay healthy and do it at a high level over 162 games. And maybe that year is this year. And maybe he is, and maybe this is his time to shine, depending on where he's at in the lineup.
You hope so. Things get started for the Braves, of course, on Thursday out in San Diego, opening day. When we come back here on the morning shift, we'll bring it back to the Falcons and the latest with Kirk Cousins. And maybe requesting a trade. When could that happen? We'll be right back to tell you on Sports Radio 99 The Game.